I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
So when we don't have a topic, you just think we come in here and...
Yeah, we do, most of the time, yes.
We do pull it out of our you-know-what sometimes. Here we go on a Monday, a brand new week where football... Games that count actually return this Saturday. Jacksonville State in action against North Carolina A&T. That's what it is.
They're not a phone company.
They're not a football team. That'll be happening in Montgomery on ESPN this Saturday. And we have a couple of interesting games in week zero, but everyone's wrapping up their fall camps, getting ready for week one in most of the college football world. Jim Dunaway, Lance Taylor, Ryan Brown, and everybody with you on a Monday. And you start off over in Alabama, where there was another major injury at the linebacker position, and Nick Saban had an interesting quote with the media after the scrimmage on Saturday, and once again, national headlines from the guy who keeps winning.
It was one of the better Nick Saban quotes we've seen in his 12 years in Tuscaloosa, but Christopher Allen tears his ACL, and this is a guy that, you know, it's going to require injury. He played in seven games as a freshman last year. And, you know, the numbers weren't big. He's not a household name. But when you're talking about depth at a position that was a problem last year, this is a concern for Nick Saban.
I actually think it's only his second best quote using this word while the head coach at Alabama. The Tin Horn quote was personal favorite.
Was unique, but the context of this one to me was a little bit better.
It's pretty good.
If you missed it over the weekend, here's Nick Saban on the injury to Chris Allen. And someone asked, are you worried about another injury at linebacker?
Well, I've been concerned about this all along. I mean, so I don't even know why you would ask the question, because you all don't think, you just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just another player. And everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about. That's the message that you send out there. And, yeah, I worry about it all the time. I may be the only one, but I do worry about it.
That's Nick Saban over the weekend. And he does worry about it, and with good reason. They're weak, depth wise anyway, on the corners.
Yeah, I mean they've got two really good outside linebackers, Anthony Jennings and Christian Miller. I mean, those two are the best in the country. But like he said, behind that, it's a bunch of freshmen. So we'll see what happens.
We're all in love with Anoma, though.
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to think when Terrell Lewis got injured, that was the name everybody was talking about. Watch Anoma. So, you know, I guess we'll get to see him against Louisville. I don't think he got much other choice at this point to start playing some of these freshmen right away.
Is it our fault as media members and for the Alabama fans out there to be conditioned to just think they crap another
No, player? He's right. I 100% think they do.
I mean, I don't think there's any problem with Christopher Allen going down after Lewis goes down. I still don't think it's a problem.
I mean, Saban's 100% right. I mean, you may not like the colorful language he used, but he's spot on. The fans think that, and we as the media think that. That it's just next man up in Tuscaloosa. And you know what? That next guy, he's going to be just as good as that last guy.
It's a knee injury to Allen. He's done for the season. Seven linebackers lost at some point during the 2017 season. Alabama down two already this year with Terrell Lewis. I will tell you, if I'm a Pac-12 coach today, I'm checking with my linebackers and making sure everybody's happy if they haven't gone to class yet to make sure that Alabama's not hitting the free agent market again for a linebacker. I don't know if they can get gifted another guy to come in as a five-star linebacker.
Yeah, well, I told Bobby Bruce is not going to be available. He got arrested. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did see that, yeah.
Bad situation.
Yeah, a little robbery
last
situation.
Last chance you.
Bobby Bruce.
I'll quit.
He's not going to make it through waivers.
I finally finished the season last night, and what was up with the rabbit mask?
Yeah, I don't know. That was a weird spot there.
Just flat out crazy, right?
Yeah, I think he might be. I think he's the type of to go back to Gary Owen in our studio, the comedian, I think he's the kind of crazy you want on your defense.
I just don't think schematically he's going to be able to pick up Nick Saban.
I just wish he was crazy with a little better knowledge of X's and O's.
I went back and tried to watch Last Chance U, the original, after finishing the third one.
So season one?
Season one.
I think it's the best of the three seasons.
I went back and I was not as interested after seeing three because it's not nearly as much of a train wreck.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is it's just the Jason Brown character, the head coach. I mean, I agree with Brown. I thought as far as the way they put it together, the concept, I thought season one was the best. Didn't see season two. But Dunaway, you turned me on to season three, and I'm actually glad I watched
it. Season one, to me, Jim, here's the difference.
Wait. Huh? Don't let that just wash over you.
What? Did you turn him on to one thing?
It's the first time in almost a decade of doing this show I have recommended a show that he actually liked when it was all said and done.
Well, you can't remember the names of most of these shows.
I know.
That's one of the bigger problems.
So what happened, though, I think season two of Last Chance U, they felt like we've got to be season one again. So they kind of amped up their characters. And then I feel like this year had watched season one and season two, and they're like, well, we know what the camera likes, so let's do that. That's why, to me, season one is the best, because it was raw and nobody knew what the cameras liked. Now, I know they were playing to the cameras, but you see what I'm saying, yeah. Right? I think you got probably the most real we've ever seen.
Well, as that season progressed, though, Rakeem Boyd.
He's a good-looking player for Arkansas.
There is no doubt. And this is a guy in Chad Morris's offense that we're going to get to see in the SEC. That's not going to be a good team at all. But with 19 returning starters, I mean, they could score some points.
Yeah.
Rakeem Boyd is
a good-looking
running back
player,
that originally signed with A&M. I mean, this guy's going to get a lot of playing time.
And I like the look of the kid that never played that ended up at UAB that was so upset all the time.
Kingston.
Yeah. I liked his look as a player, but he never got any snaps.
Yeah.
So
never got any tape, as he kept telling the other players. All right, 6:06. Feinbaum's with us at 7 to talk about what Nick Saban endured over the weekend, plus that Bleacher Report anonymous coach that one coach accuses Nick Saban of cheating. And we'll talk about that throughout the show, including with Feinbaum coming up at 7:02 a little bit later on this morning. We did have NFL football over the weekend, a lot of exhibition football. And one bit of news coming out, A.J. McCarron, hairline fracture to his collarbone. He's getting a second opinion now as he's trying to figure out what's the next course of action for him. But in that game, boy, Josh Allen comes in, looks really good, moving the football around. And if they ever go to Josh Allen, the door probably closes for A.J. McCarron there in Buffalo pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the future obviously is Josh Allen there. Again, I think he's a raw project. We all know what Jalen Ramsey thinks. He thinks he's trash. But he did look pretty good over the weekend. A.J. McCarron gets the start, unfortunately goes down with a hairline fracture. Nathan Peterman is not going to be the answer there. So if you don't have A.J. McCarron, you really wonder if you're Sean McDermott. There's no expectation. This team right now in Las Vegas is 200-1 to win the Super Bowl.
A playoff team from last year,
team that kind of snuck in with Tyrod Taylor at 9-7, but the biggest long shot right now to win a Super Bowl. So if you're Sean McDermott and the future is Josh Allen, why not play?
You know, when I saw this injury reported, I just immediately thought, well, A.J. McCarron's never going to be a starter in the league. I mean, you know, he couldn't get past Andy Dalton at Cincinnati. Hugh Jackson didn't come get him from Cleveland like some people thought he would. You finally get a chance at Buffalo and you break your collarbone. I just don't know that he's ever going to be a starter. And I'm not sure he's good enough to be. I don't know. You know, we've seen him so limited. But even if he's good enough to be, he may not ever get that chance. Because once you go to Josh Allen, if he does anything, you got to stay with him. He's your franchise. A.J. McCarron is not the future and is not the franchise quarterback. Josh Allen is. You've just used that pick on him and paid him all that money.
100%. Tonight we'll be watching the NFL Monday Night Football version with Andrew Luck as they play an exhibition game against the Ravens. You'll see that 7 o'clock on ESPN. We'll be watching Luck to see what his shoulder looks like as he plays his second exhibition game. And we'll also be watching some more extended playing time for Lamar Jackson tonight. So a couple of pretty interesting quarterbacks in action tonight on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, kind of a pivotal year for John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens. And a lot of people that wanted Lamar Jackson to win this job, I mean, there's no shot he's going to be starting early on because Joe Flacco was a guy that's won a Super Bowl. But Lamar Jackson's got a ton of upside. So it's going to be interesting to see him on the field in the second half. And then, as you mentioned, Andrew Luck, where does this progression go? Even if Andrew Luck is back to his top form 4 years ago, AFC Championship game, do you guys believe Indianapolis can compete right now with Jacksonville and Houston in that division?
No, it seems like very quickly they've sunk to the bottom of that division.
And even Tennessee, a team that won a playoff game last year.
Absolutely. So interesting to watch tonight what Luck looks like as we'll put a wrap on week two of the NFL exhibition season. Scary scene yesterday. I don't know if anybody was watching the race. I was not. But I did see it on SportsCenter, the Indy race happening there. And Robert Wickens goes up into the fencing, 80 feet of fencing, or maybe it was 80 yards of fencing, ripped out. But a lot of the backstretch fencing ripped out, and he goes flying over as they got their wheels tangled with Ryan Hunter Ray. And the scary in-car video of Hunter Ray, the car flying over his head, ripping off the roll bar right above his head. It could have been really bad for Ryan Hunter Ray, but Robert Wickens wakes up in the hospital today. Injuries to his spine, his arm, He's got a pulmonary contusion. He's going to have surgery, probably multiple surgeries. The car demolished there, one of the more ferocious accidents, wrecks I've ever seen in Indy racing there, getting into the fencing. And so you see that video, and you're first, you're amazed that he's still alive, and secondly, you realize how treacherous that sport is, but also as he tries now to recover from that.
That fence ripped that car apart, everything but what they call the tub, I think is what they call it. And the tub helicopters through the air for what seems like hundreds of yards. I have no earthly idea how it flew. But, I mean, that was as scary as it gets, man. Yeah. And that shows you, I guess, how safe they are that the guy's not dead.
It is. But of all the accidents that you see in NASCAR, nothing looks as ferocious and dangerous as the Indy cars when they get in the air like that.
Yeah,
that
because they get ripped apart. They lose tires and everything. The NASCAR never gets ripped apart. I mean, it gets crushed. But it's, by and large, still got most of its parts left. This was a yard sale. I mean, there were parts everywhere.
We hope Wickens is okay as he recovers up there in the state of Pennsylvania. All right. Talk in Best and Worst of the Weekend about these anonymous candid coaches is what Chip Patterson calls it at CBSSports.com. And these type of stories are getting blasted by a lot of coaches. And you would imagine if you're on the underrated or overrated list, it would not turn out very good for you. You wouldn't like these stories. And that's how it all starts. But it ended up being one-fifth of the 129 active coaches. The one-fifth of that's about
25,
yeah. Right? And one guy calls Nick Saban, and here's the quote on that. If you had the number one recruiting class in the country every year, you'd win like Nick Saban. He shows up at every single game with a better roster than the teams he's playing. If you count cheating and getting the best players in the country as part of running a program, he's the best in the country. It's like saying an NFL coach is the best coach in the league if he gets 25 first-round picks every year. End quote. That was one coach who called Nick Saban underrated.
Well, that quote's high in sodium, but there is some truth in that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he does have the best players, but you know what? Everybody has an opportunity to go out and sign those guys.
Now, when you get to the part about cheating and all that.
If you count cheating, is the one that sticks out.
That's when you're sour, you know, a little sour grapes in there, obviously, and maybe some jealousy, but, I mean, it's not an entirely untrue quote.
I mean, I'm a little surprised that 25% of coaches would actually go on record here.
Well, they don't. They're anonymous.
Well, you know what I mean. They would even have the time.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine some of these coaches, if you called them up and you were asking about other coaches, would they have any interest at all in answering this, especially this time of year?
They say some stuff about Franklin, too, man. James Franklin doesn't come out well on this one either. Hyundai gets you out of the dealership and into your new car fast. There's new Shopper Assurance program featuring streamlined purchases so you spend less time haggling and more time driving. That's car buying made simple. Find out more at HyundaiUSA.com/shopperassurance.
I said underrated. Saban's in the overrated category. So is James Franklin. His coaching peers know he is full of it, is one of the guys' quotes.
Really interesting year for Franklin. I've told you guys that. I think he's got a ton of talent there. Trace McSorley's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. But there is a correlation of that offense really popping when Moorhead took it over a couple of years ago, and now Moorhead's on to Mississippi State. It's going to be interesting to see if Franklin can keep that offense moving.
The Kiffin quote's tremendous, too. I'm probably a little jealous of Lane Kiffin. If you're born on third base, that's great, but don't think you hit a triple.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Mylon in Dora is next with us. Hey, Mylon, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Before I give my best and worst, I want to make a comment about a coach calling out Nick Saban. You got to be a moron to call out another program because, in my opinion, there's not really a Lily White program, and I feel like you're opening that door for your program to be looked at when you go out on the record and call out other people.
Well, I would agree, Brown. Yeah. I mean, I think if you dig into any program, you're going to find something.
Yeah, I mean, I live in a world where I believe every program has some cheating going on. How much does the head coach know about it, I think, varies in each program. But I think recruiting it just lends itself to that. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it does. Again, though, these are anonymous coaches, so nobody has any idea who said this. If somebody ever said it on the record, you're right. It would set up everybody starting to investigate that dude's program to see if he's doing it clean. That's why nobody would ever in a million years say this and put their actual name behind it.
Right. But anyway, my best of the weekend was my 7- and 8-year-old football team played. The worst is we didn't perform very well. I mean, listen, guys.
You got them out there this morning, Mylan, working?
No. No. We'll get after it this evening, though.
Okay.
I'd get you an air horn.
Yeah. Yeah. Get them up. I'd have them out this morning. They played that bad.
When I played, youth football was a little shorter field. We played 80 yards instead of 100 yards. So get them on the ground, make them do that 80-yard roll from one end to the other, see what they think at the end. See how dizzy they are. Kidding, of course. Learning experience.
Slightly.
Learning experience right there. Best and worst of the weekend, as you heard, Mylan, brought to you by our friends at ThermoGuard, 795-3696, 795-3696. The masters at improving your home for less. Composite decks, affordable. They require very little maintenance. They do sunrooms, fire pits, outside fireplaces. Of course, those energy-efficient windows, the first way most of us were introduced to ThermoGuard. They do siding, gutters, entry doors, and a whole lot more. Basically, you dream it up about your home, and they can make it happen for you. And here's the best part. As a Jocks Roundtable listener, you get an absolutely free quote on your home. ThermoGuard does it for less, sometimes half as much as the competition. That number again, 205-795-3696. ThermoGuard Windows and Siding, ThermoGuardInc.com. Best thing you saw this weekend, Lance? Worst thing you saw this weekend, what was it?
The worst thing was the A.J. McCarron injury. Just really feel bad for the kid. You know, finally has an opportunity to be a starting quarterback in this league. And now with this injury, it doesn't look like it's going to happen in Buffalo. The best, I sent this to Rockstar yesterday, and I actually tweeted it out. Did you get an opportunity to look at the video?
Yeah, I need to watch it.
I open it, but I open it without sound, so I don't know exactly what's going on in the video.
Okay, so anyway, I'm talking Dunaway to my daughter over the weekend, asking how the first week of ninth grade went.
Right.
So we get into her first period history, and she said that her teacher comes in. She's wearing a Black Death European tour, 1347 to 1351, and all the cities listed on the back.
Yikes.
So she's explaining Black Death to the class. And she plays a song that's also got a video, and it's off of Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani, and it's called Fleas on Rats. It is the funniest thing that I've ever heard. Maybe my sense of humor is a lot different, but it explains the Black Plague in detail. And this chick that wrote the song and did the lyrics, it is so detailed and so amazing. So I wanted to have it queued up today. We don't, but maybe we can get Laurel to actually send it out on the Jocks Roundtable Twitter feed. Because it is awesome.
Laurel gives us a nod behind the glass saying she'll do that a little bit later on. So we'll do that on Twitter and Instagram maybe a little bit later on. Maybe our IGTV and get it out there for you a little bit later on Instagram.
Black Death. I'm telling you, it's incredible.
The song, not the,
The actual Black Death.
I think we're far enough away, right?
It's been a while, yeah.
It still floats around occasionally. You get an occasional trip to the hospital.
Well, you don't want that.
You do not. Best and worst of the weekend, Brown, brought to you by our friends at ThermoGuard.
My best is Georgia football fans. Now, Lance, before you start in on the Georgia football fans, I want you to hear this story. The best. I know how Lance...
Okay, well, you know I date one, right?
I do, and I know how you feel about their fans, but I think you'll like this story. There's this guy named Joshua Ergel. He's the offensive line coach at Austin Peay, which is Georgia's first opponent this year, right? He and his wife, Kristen, have a daughter named Landry, and she's got a disease that is so rare it doesn't even have a name. Imagine that, right? You got a disease that's a serious disease, and it's so rare they haven't even named it.
Yeah, I mean, how do you even treat it?
That's the problem. They don't really know how to treat it because it's so rare. And what that has created, Lance, is they've had to do a lot of treatments, some of them unnecessary, and it's created a mountain of medical bills, a debt that they were never going to be able to climb out of. Austin Peay has a kicker from Georgia. So he tweets the story to some of his buddies that are on the Georgia football team with a GoFundMe page. They start tweeting it out to the fans, and the GoFundMe was at $22,000 at the end of the last week, and Georgia fans have now gotten it up to $86,682. Wow. So that is an awesome job by Georgia fans for an opponent. It's not even a guy that's, you know, a coach on your team.
Right.
It's the offensive line coach at Austin Peay who you're about to play. But their generosity is amazing, and this family said we were looking at bankruptcy, basically. And they didn't say those words, but if you read between the lines, they were looking at bankruptcy, and this is going to not only get them out of that hole, but also give them a little pad for future expenses that they were
coming. And I bet this will go up. I mean, would you guys be surprised if Georgia Athletics said, you know what, 10% of our concessions proceeds
from
the Austin Peay goes?
Yeah, or Kirby makes a big donation or something like that, because, I mean, it's a really cool story just to see how college football, how sports can unite opposing fan bases,
and
you know?
It's on the heels of what the Georgia fan base continues to do, and Mark Richt did for the Southern player that got injured in the game in Athens.
Yeah, and wasn't Georgia the team, and boy, these Georgia fans, man, they come up big. Weren't they the team that found out the Boise State kid's dad had been deployed, yep, and they tried to fly him into Atlanta, and the NCAA tried to shut it down and then realized we're idiots for shutting this down.
Yeah, it was when Boise State, yeah, and Georgia were going to play at, right, the Georgia Dome, yeah, to start the season.
And,
yeah,
they flew that kid's dad in to see the game. Well, this time they've come up again, $86,682. And maybe we'll tweet the story out if you'd like to make a donation. It's a beautiful little girl, and God, your heart breaks for their family. And they need help, and somebody stepped in to help. My worst, and this is...
How do you go from that to a worst, Brent?
I know.
There's nothing worse after that.
But there was a best, though, Jim. My worst, and I don't suspect you guys were watching this, but last night, the Web.com Tour finals are on, right? This is the step below the PGA. Have you seen the story, Dunaway?
You told me this does not happen, Brown.
What does not happen?
One time, I've been around you recently because we were playing a rough course,
yeah,
and you... almost through your club. You sort of let it go out.
Oh, no. That's not even the story.
Oh, I thought you were going that story. Okay.
No, there's another story there. I'll let you tell that one. This guy named Kevin Doherty, which I grew up with a guy named Kevin Doherty. It's a different guy.
Side note.
Just thought I'd mention that.
Get back on the road.
He's top 25 of the Web.com Tour, gets their PGA Tour card, right? They get the bump up. He's on number 18. He's got one shot left the whole season. It's come down to the last shot of the season. Lance, he's got a chip from right in front of the green. If he makes it, he's on to the PGA Tour. If he misses it, he finishes 26.
Wait, so it's not even a putt, it's a chip?
It could have been a putt or a chip. It's just right off the green. He decided to chip it. Ball singes the lip, inches away from falling. Keeps him on the Web.com Tour rather than full PGA Tour exemption.
What meant to be?
He missed it by $1,025 over the whole year.
A cut of the blade of grass.
$1,025 kept him off. Maybe he wishes he had. Oh, he almost made it, too. That's heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking.
He needed to finish 25th.
Did he realize that he had to have that shot?
Best I can tell, yeah. He knew exactly where he stood.
That's tough.
Yep.
If you've been with us long enough on the show, you know occasionally I say things I shouldn't say. It just comes out. I don't know why. Sometimes I recognize it as soon as I say it. Playing golf with Brown once, he said, he hit a bad shot. He let the club go. He didn't slam it to the ground, but he let the club go out front.
He played with me Thursday. He heard some colorful language from me. I don't throw the club. But,
yeah, Lance says some
colorful language. And I said to Brown, man, be careful, man. That club could, snap in half and come up and jab me in the heart or something.
Yeah. Well, total worst-case scenario for Dunaway, is always the case.
But you've always heard, down at the old Montevallo course.
Urban legend.
I mean, if the croc hunter can get a barb in the chest, he can get a club in the jug or something.
And then yesterday it happened. A spectator was injured and required stitches. After Kevin Stadler's club head came loose and flew into the gallery Friday at a Web.com Tour event near Portland.
Is he related to the Walrus?
Yeah, it's his son.
It's his son. He got mad, slammed his club to the turf in anger, and up against his foot on the 15th hole of the second round. The club broke somewhere near the bottom of the shaft and hit the spectator in the head.
Mm.
Six stitches.
Yeah, the club head came off, and they said that it was a bloody mess. The guy was just gushing blood.
Felt pretty bad, I bet.
Well, I would imagine.
How do you finish 15, 16, 17, and 18 at that point?
I don't know.
What if that's a kid it hits?
I know. Oh, I know.
We're at number 4, and that's the Ohio State Buckeyes. The voting came in before all the stuff went on at Ohio State. I don't think it changes a lot of people's mind, though, about how talented this football team is. It's brought to you by our friends at Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
Get drafted at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. That's right. Host your fantasy draft party this year at Baumhauer's Victory Grill, and the first round is on them. All you have to do is call, book your fantasy draft party now through September 5th, and you'll score a free tray of their legendary wings plus $7.99 Bud Light pitchers to fuel your picks. Just visit baumhauers.com/fantasy for more information. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, legendary fun, legendary food.
Let's start with a given. Really good running backs at Ohio State. J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber, about as good as you'll find anywhere in the Big Ten and maybe anywhere in the country.
Yeah, and you start really with J.K. Dobbins, and this is a guy that if you listed top 5 running backs in college football, everyone would have him in their top 5. True sophomore coming back over 1,400 yards last year, over 7 yards a carry. Behind one of the better offensive lines in college football. The biggest question for this offense is going to be Dwayne Haskins. Is this a guy that can come in and pick up where JT Barrett actually left off? And a lot of people were underwhelmed with JT Barrett over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, Brown. JT Barrett's progression line was not going up. It was going down, it seemed like, towards the end. Won a lot of football games, but his performance in some of the big ones seem to be downward instead of an upward trend. I would imagine there's some Buckeye fans out there that are excited to turn the page and see what Haskins can do.
Yeah, it's really weird to see an Urban Meyer quarterback do that, though, right? I mean, I think we've got pretty good faith in Urban Meyer at the quarterback position. And to see a guy that did seem to kind of regress a little bit by the tail end of his season just seemed weird.
Yeah, I don't know if he regressed. I just don't think he got any better. And I think he was this good as a redshirt freshman. And that was what was weird is typically guys progress under Urban Meyer. But still, I mean, JT Barrett had 47 total touchdowns last year.
I know, 35 passing and 9 interceptions. That's a pretty good touchdown interception ratio for a guy that threw for more than 3,000 yards last year. Well, so it's not like he was total trash.
You know, the good news is this defense gave up less than 20 points per game. And just 2 years ago, 15.1 points per game. The defense should be more in line with that. You look at the out-of-conference schedule, you've got TCU and Arlington, but TCU's got to reload a lot of different spots there. So to me, there's three losable games on this schedule. So a worst case is kind of 9-3. A best case is obviously 12-0. I think Ohio State 10-2 probably. I could see a couple of losses.
Their defensive line, Nick Bosa, Draymond Jones, you've got some talented players there on that defensive line that makes that a shutdown unit. I mean, it's not Clemson, it's not Auburn, maybe not even Mississippi State or Alabama, but it's in the conversation when you get to Alabama, Mississippi State.
We remember how disruptive Joey Bosa was for the Buckeyes, and Nick Bosa, a lot of people are saying just as good, maybe even better than Joey Bosa. Looking at Ohio State last year, a team that wasn't even really close, they went 12-2. They win their bowl game. They dominate USC in the Cotton Bowl. But you look at their losses. That game against Oklahoma in the Horseshoe Week 2, I mean, they got dominated.
Smoked, yeah.
That was kind of Baker Mayfield when he planted the flag in an artificial surface, by the way.
Tried to plant a flag.
It didn't stick.
Yes. It didn't stick. That game wasn't close. And then you look at the game in Iowa City against Iowa where they just get ran off the field. So those two losses, they weren't even close to a national championship last year, although they almost got into the 14th playoff.
They did, but that loss at Iowa is in all likelihood what kept them out of it. I mean, I think that was what everyone said is a playoff team does not lose like that to an Iowa team.
61-8 in a 5-year window for Urban Meyer, and that gets you to 0 day today in the investigation, though the Ohio State folks have backed off of that a little bit. The investigation is going to be over when the investigation's over, says the president now. But the just football terms now, not having Urban Meyer on the field for these 2 weeks of camp so far, whether he'll be back later this week or not, we will find out. Do you think it has impacted this team at all?
I don't. I think it would be a rallying point where they come together. And another thing you got to look at, Dunaway, the first few weeks, you get Oregon State and Rutgers. Both of those games at home, those are going to be complete blowouts. It doesn't matter if Ryan Day's on the sideline or Urban Meyer. And I think we all believe now the way this thing is trending, Urban Meyer probably will be sitting out 3-4 weeks. That looks like the out-of-conference schedule for Ohio State. I don't think it matters. I think when he comes back, everything will be normal. But the thing you got to look at is the expectation now. Ohio State really is underachieved. They haven't won anything since 2014?
Yeah, the 14 national championship.
So it's been a long time based on Urban Meyer standards.
I can remember, and what would be the worst case if he's fired, do you think? Because I want to go back to something.
Oh, you mean on win-loss record?
Yeah, worst case. I mean, let's just say he's fired.
I still think it would be 9-3.
Because I remember,
and that would be a horrible year for Ohio State,
when Petrino was fired in the offseason, people saying, look, I mean, John L. Smith, he may not be head coach material, but that team's built. Yeah. They'll be fine.
John L. Smith coached at Louisville, coached at Michigan State, had pretty good teams there.
They'll be fine. That was an abject disaster under him. Now, this Ryan Daycat, he may be a way better coach than John L. Smith.
Well, they say he's the next coming.
I guess so. I don't know.
I remember, Brown, you said it wasn't going to be automatic for Arkansas because you had all the assistant coaches who would be distracted because they're looking for their next job because that group wouldn't be staying together.
Yeah, they knew they were gone at the end, so they're looking for their next job. So, yes, that's always my concern when you have a lame duck situation like that is assistant coaches, number one, they're going to worry about their family. And my family is most important to me, so I got to find my next job. And any sort of distraction, because Michigan, their coaches aren't distracted that way. Michigan State's coaches aren't distracted that way. And then you just got and the players too, Jim. Who's my next guy going to be?
Right.
Why am I buying in for Ryan Day? He's not going to be my coach next year. You know, I don't care what this guy says. So it's got so many elements that can go bad in those situations.
Kevin Wilson and Greg Schiano, though, two former head coaches on that staff as coordinators, could help keep that team together if Urban Meyer ends up not being the coach. Most people think he will be. We will let you know if news breaks from Columbus, if anything comes out of that investigation. Scheduled to end today, though it may continue throughout the week after the weekend.
I script. The preseason ranking for the college football teams that ended up in the 2014 playoff, 1, 2, 3, 5. So the voters did a pretty good job there, right?
They did.
After that, Dunaway, every year there's been a team outside the top 10 that has made it in. And in 2015, you had a couple of outliers. So 2015, 1 and 2 didn't even make it. 3, 5, 12, and 19. 2016, 1, 2, 6, and 14. And 2017, 1, 5, 7, and 15. So historically, over the last 3 years, you've had a team outside the top 10 of the initial Associated Press poll that has actually made the college football playoff.
You'll probably get it again this year.
So you're talking about teams like Miami, Michigan, Notre Dame, Stanford, Michigan State,
yep.
Those type of teams mm-hmm. that'll fall in that neighborhood of 8 to 12 to 13.
Well, I don't even have to ask Lance. I mean, I know he's already got Stanford in his.
I've got two of those. I mean, Michigan and Stanford are both going to be teams outside of the top 10 that I think won't be in the college football playoff this year.
Yeah, Texas is in mine, and they would be outside of the top 10 as well.
Yeah, now I went a little more like the initial AP poll because I've got Alabama, Clemson, Wisconsin, and Washington, and all those teams are going to start within the Associated Press top 10, I would imagine, unless the voters throw us a big curveball. But historically, you can look that outside the top 10, you can find a team that will make it into the college football playoff more years than not.
I have Penn State making it as well, and Penn State is going to be in the top 10. James Franklin's the other coach. Now, we told you about the accusation about Nick Saban and this candid coaches thing throughout the first part of the show at CBSSports.com. But the guys that got the most votes for being the most overrated coaches in college football, Willie Taggart at Florida State, 20% of the 25 voters. So
to me, Taggart's a little strange because he's never had a good job. I mean, Oregon was a pretty good job last year, but, you know, your starting quarterback was out for half the season. You win 7 games in year 1. So it was kind of an incomplete. Now he's got a big-time job at Florida State. We'll see with Willie Taggart over the next couple of years.
Well, no, if you can't win at Florida State, you're probably an overrated coach. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, James Franklin, though, is a guy who's got a good job. Mm-hmm. He had a bad one at Vandy and did well at Vandy. Here's a stat for you.
Okay.
Bruce Feldman points this out when he was sort of ridiculing the story. He said, James Franklin overrated? At Vandy, he was in the top 25 two of 3 years he was there. Before that, it had been 75 years since Vandy had finished in the top 25.
So here's two things about him at Vandy, and I disagree with this. I don't think James Franklin is overrated. I think James Franklin's a good football coach.
I feel like Lance does a little bit.
Yeah, I'll let Brett go with his point, and then,
Well, here's the thing at Vandy. Here's what he gets dinged for two things at Vandy, Dunaway. Number one is they never, quote-unquote, beat a big team. Like everybody says of him at Vandy, he ran up those 9 wins against teams they were almost as good as. Now, that to me, that's a credit to him, though, Lance, that he can get Vandy that good because they're not there now. Derek Mason's viewed to be a good football coach. They're not as good as a lot of teams, right? So he never, like, upset an Alabama or upset anybody like that. He just beat teams they're about as good as. There weren't a whole lot of meaty wins in there. And the other thing is his offense was putrid at Vandy. And it was early on at Penn State, too, until Joe Moorhead got there. So I think that's why he gets dinged.
Well, and that's one of the things. I backed up James Franklin when he was at Vanderbilt because I don't care how you get to 9 wins.
That's what I would say.
And you do it in back-to-back seasons. That's something that we will never see again with Vanderbilt football. But when he gets to Penn State, so underwhelmed in those first 2 7-6 campaigns. And I just think now that people classify him as a top 10 coach, I disagree with that, Dunaway. I think he can relate to the players. I love his confidence.
4-20 was Penn State's record before he got there, right?
And it was a mess. It was more than just the record.
And look, 22 wins over the last couple of years. But again, the offense has been borderline sensational. You have a once in a, I don't want to call Saquon a once in a lifetime player, but maybe a once in a decade type player in Saquon Barkley. Joe Moorhead was that good at putting this offense together. I just don't think it'll continue.
That's what the candid coach says about Franklin. When Franklin got to Penn State, I thought, man, he's a good marketer. He did a nice job with that. It'll be interesting without Saquon. He's underrated. He turned a lot of no-gain plays into 60-yard touchdowns.
He did. I mean, Saquon did everything for that offense last year. And again, Trace McSorley's a really good quarterback, and Ricky Rain, who will be taking over the offense, learned under Joe Moorhead. I just think it's going to be much different. I think with a difficult schedule, I think Penn State loses two or three games this year.
Yeah. One other candid coach, James Franklin's the most overrated. His coaching peers know he is full of it.
I don't think other coaches like James Franklin.
Yeah, he's so brash. I think that's it. And those two, I just want to go back to the Vandy stuff. Those two 9-win seasons. In 2012, Jim, he had three games against ranked teams, and he lost them all. Now, they were number 8 South Carolina, which he only lost by 4. Number 5 Georgia on the road, they got scorched in that one. Number 4 Florida, 31-17. So he played 8-5-4. I mean, that's, if you're the Vandy coach, how many times are you going to beat any of those teams, right?
Exactly.
So he lost all three of those, and they also lost at Northwestern. The next year, he played 2 ranked teams, and they lost both those games. At number 13 South Carolina, they lost by 10. At number 14 Texas A&M, they got scorched as well, 56-24. So I think that's the ammunition people use against him at Vandy, is every time he played a ranked team, he lost. Well, gosh, he's the coach at Vandy.
And again, I hate these candid coaches things, but I do read them. I find them interesting.
I do too.
Yeah. One guy just blasted Jimbo Fisher. We're going to see in the next 3 years what happens with Jimbo at Texas A&M. That disaster last year at Florida State, he prides himself on being just like Nick Saban. He only worked for him for a couple of years. He never has the organizational skills. He flies by the seat of his pants. It looks like it's organized and the words he uses are the same, but if you talk to people who work in his office, the desk is sloppy. The rooms are sloppy.
I can see that.
You can see Jimbo having a sloppy desk?
Oh, yeah.
His sentence structures are sloppy.
Do I have a sloppy desk?
He seems like a guy that's not afraid to sleep on the couch.
Do I have a sloppy desk?
You do.
You know what's weird?
You worked out.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Do you like Jim covering that right there?
The only thing unorganized and sloppy in my life is my desk back there.
Yeah, Lance does have a little bit of a sloppy work.
Playing the game.
Today we're doing a last night I gave Lance 10 questions. And okay. this game is called Has Lance Ever Done This?
Oh boy. Do Dunaway and I get to choose too?
Yeah, these are all yes or no answers.
Okay, so it's 50-50 for our caller.
10 questions.
10 questions. So 10 of you will have a chance to play. 834-9450, 800-239-WJOX. David in Gardendale is up first with us as we play for Leonard Skinner tickets. David, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Awesome.
Fantastic. So Rockstar is going to ask a question, and your answer is either yes, Lance has done it, or no, Lance has never done it, okay?
First question.
All right.
Has Lance ever driven an ATV?
Yes.
Oh. He says yes.
I mean, he's barely driven a car.
Yeah. I'm going to say golf cart, yes. I'm going to say no, he has never driven an ATV. Oh, wait.
What?
Family at the farm.
Yeah, I'm still going to say no.
I'm going to go yes. I'm going to go yes.
David says yes, I'd say no.
We'll see. Yes, he has.
Dunaway's dead. Actually, I started driving them in Maplesville like 30 years ago, the old four-wheelers and the family farm. Actually had them.
All right. You're in, David.
You're in, David. Okay. So far, one in. If somebody else gets in, then we'll have a drawing for a pair of tickets to go see Leonard Skinner. That's how you do it, Jason. Jason's in Childersburg. Welcome in, man. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Jason, has Lance ever been snorkeling?
What are you talking about, in beer? What are you talking about?
No need for the snorkel.
I drink my way out of danger.
All right. Let's see. Lance has been snorkeling. I think Lance has probably been on a cruise or two. You know, maybe stopped off a little island somewhere, maybe dipped his toes in the water and had a little snorkel in his mouth.
A little snorkel. Yeah. He goes, yes.
He set the stage, man.
I too am going to go with Jason that he has snorkeled.
I could hear Lance say, that seems like a bunch of crap or a bunch of effort or a bunch of trouble. So I'd say no to that one as well, but Jason says yes.
Actually, a lot of different places. Caymans, Jamaica, Bahamas. I've done the snorkeling quite a few times.
The local pool.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Hang tight, Jason. You're in the draw.
I've done it in the local pool, too.
Yeah. He started snorkeling when he was 9 years old.
Yeah. Well, I thought I knew
Rodney Dangerfield did it in the hot tub, didn't he?
It was a bath without bubbles.
36 after, as you drive to work on this Monday, a little laugh. Has Lance done it or not? Yes or no? As we play for Leonard Skinner tickets, Blake in Gadsden is next. Hey, Blake, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great, Blake. Thank you.
In the past 5 years, has Lance gone without showering for 24 straight hours?
24 hours without a shower. Has Lance ever done that, Blake?
The past 5 years.
Past 5 years.
Yeah, he's done that, yeah.
Oh, Blake says yes.
I'm going to say no. I think he is even hungover. I would say Lance would make his way to a shower.
But I'm trying to think, is there a time where 24 hours has been the event? Like, you know, the it started
Vegas,
at,
right?
Started at 6 a.m., didn't finish till 7 a.m., so he never showered. I though, am going to say no, Blake. Blake says yes.
So it was the second week of December in 2015.
Very specific.
And, well, I'll never forget this because we had a Christmas party up here. So I shower, I do some sales stuff, and I go straight to the Christmas party. We had it on the second floor. I got food poisoning.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the first time I've ever called in sick to the show.
Yep.
So I missed Friday. So I had gone all day, and I didn't get a shower till late Friday afternoon. All right. So I went like 30-something hours without a shower.
Blake, you're in. Hang tight.
Yeah. Felt filthy.
So far, 3 for 3.
I don't even know this man anymore. Yeah.
Everybody else does, though.
I know.
As we play for Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets, you can get tickets at LiveNation.com August 31st at the Oak Mountain Amphitheater. A great way to wrap up your summer, maybe. Adam is in Aniana next with us. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Great, guys. Less than 2 weeks out.
That's right, buddy.
Yeah, close.
Has Lance ever worn cowboy boots as an adult?
Cowboy boots since he became an adult. Yes or no, Adam?
I'm going to say no.
He says no. I know designer boots, but in the I've seen him wear those. But in the pure sense of cowboy boots, what you would call cowboy, I would say absolutely not. I would be willing to say since the age of 5 he hasn't.
Yeah, done. I mean, honest to goodness, it is a odd look on Lance if he is actually in a I'm going to hang out with Jimbo Fisher and try to win a national championship cowboy boot. Yeah. I'm going to say no.
Adam is spot on. He says no.
I had a boot that kind of resembled a cowboy boot, but I've never had like the true cowboy boot. Yeah. So I'm going to go with a no on.
Yeah, 100% in the drawing here, Adam.
So Adam's in the drawing. Way to go. So
easiest question yet.
We are 4 for 4.
Yep.
So far.
Our listeners know Lance.
We'll do a handful of more. Tommy is listening to us on the Jocks app up in Huntsville. Hey, Tommy, how are you?
Always blessed, guys. Listen, I don't know what's funnier, the fact that LT snorkeling in beer, or the fact that he knows the date that he...
I know. It was very specific, wasn't it?
I like the shower, Tommy. Yeah.
No, I will tell you, Lance keeps a track of his running record. It's like a coal mine back in the 70s of when he throws up. And he prides himself, I've gone 364 days without vomiting.
Yeah, until that food poisoning, Tommy, it was December 26th of 2009, the last time I threw up.
Yep. We're in the stat business, Tommy. We do stats around here, man.
Here's another one after snorkeling. In the past 5 years, has Lance funneled a beer?
In the past five years.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I think I would agree with Tommy on that one. It seems so spring breakish.
What has happened in Lance's life?
I don't think Lance really needs the funnel.
I'm going to say he has not funneled a beer because you funnel... lesser beers than what Lance usually drinks.
It'd be hard to funnel a snake handler.
You don't funnel snake handlers.
Yes. I'd agree with you, Tommy. The answer is no.
You guys are unfortunately wrong, as embarrassing as this is.
Wow. Sorry, Tommy.
So, Tommy. Bethany's younger cousin, we went to the beach, you know, 3-4 years ago. No, and they still got that same funnel that they sell at, like, Alvin's Island or whatever. It says, "Who's Bad Party Time?"
Right.
Yeah. And he actually had one of those, and I was just showing him the proper way to do it.
You had to teach him.
Yeah, it was an educational moment. I don't pride myself on it. I felt a little guilty doing it. But if you guys brought a funnel in here, I'd funnel one right now.
Interesting.
Thank you for the team.
One of those things you never forget how to do.
Yeah. Marl, go for a run, man. All right, who's next?
David. Yep.
David in Birmingham. You're playing for Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets, LiveNation.com. You get it right, you go into the drawing. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you, man.
In the past 5 years, has Lance missed an entire Rams football game?
Has he missed
an entire game? Not watched any play from
not seen one play.
An entire game.
Mm,
5 seconds.
Yes.
He says yes. There is no way, and you know where, that he has missed an entire Rams game. I think only death would do that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to think. Is there been
his death? I mean,
death in an immediate family?
No, it'd have to be his death.
Major wedding?
No, a wedding. What, are you kidding me? He'd miss a Rams game for a wedding?
That is silly. Done away.
Have you lost your mind?
I'm going to say he has not either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't recall the last time I missed a Rams game.
Yeah.
Well, that was that night. Was there not a Thursday night game for our Christmas party?
No, that's what, it was against the Cardinals, and I was running back and forth to the toilet.
Yeah. Ain't nothing going to stop me.
It was awful. But yeah.
I'm not going to shower, but I'll watch the Rams.
And the Rams lost that game.
Yeah, sorry, David. You were incorrect.
But there's no way. I cannot remember the last time. Now, there have been some plays that I haven't seen. But
an entire game? No way.
Jacob down in Clanton as we play for Leonard Skinner tickets. Jacob, how you doing?
Doing good. How are y'all?
Awesome. Fantastic, man.
Has Lance ever taken a dance lesson as an adult?
I'm going to say no.
There was, and I cannot remember if it's, I think it was before we joined as a show. Do you remember there was an advertiser and we went and did dance lessons, Dunaway?
Yeah, we had to go for for advertisement.
They had a gym membership together.
I guarantee the chemistry you guys were partners.
The chemistry on the Sonic side is so good.
We had to go take salsa lessons.
What I can't remember is if it was Lance's client, because he would have been there if it was. I want to say Lance was there and he has taken dance lessons.
See, I thought Lance was there that night.
Yeah. But Jacob says no.
Jacob, you are dead on. I have never taken a dance.
Jacob's in the drawing. Yeah, I thought you were there.
Yeah, nope. It seems
I don't
so
remember
weird.
You two taking.
I wish there was video of that.
Oh, this is a long time. It was before we joined together as a show, and I don't know why somebody was advertising dance lessons on a sports station. I doubt they're in business now, but
it was down in Pelham off Highway 31, and I remember
we
took our wives. Yeah. And I remember the ride home being upset because Brown was better at it than I was.
Jackie. Cool, you suck then, because I can't dance.
All right, two more.
Okay.
Let's go to Adam and Boaz. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Good, how are y'all?
Awesome.
In the past 5 years, has Lance slept till noon? At least till noon?
In the past 5 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Till
he
noon.
Says no. I think 100% he has. Yeah, I'd I'd almost bet a paycheck on that one.
I'm going to say no. The guy works hard.
Yeah.
Gets up.
Butter him up.
Yeah.
I mean, if he comes in at 8 o'clock in the morning and an all-nighter, then you sleep till noon. But not a full night's sleep and he just lays around in bed till noon.
Yeah, Adam says no.
I'm going to say no, too.
It was actually last year. It was after the Wedgwood event. And I took Monday off and I was supposed to play golf with him. But it was so bad that Sunday night I didn't make golf. And I slept till like 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Sorry, Adam.
I mean, I felt completely worthless.
Yeah.
Brown, pick the final one.
Let's go Nikki and Helena.
Been holding the longest.
Yep.
Good call there. Nikki and Helena, how are you?
Hey, good. Roll Tide.
Hey, man, sister.
Yeah. Bubbly.
You're cheery for the morning. When's the last time you slept till noon?
Long time.
Yeah, me too. All right, here we go. Last one. Leonard Skinner tickets. You get this right, you go into the drawing.
Final question. Has Lance ever ridden in a helicopter?
I'm going to say no.
Lance has a paralyzing fear of flying. I cannot imagine him being in a helicopter. I would agree with Nikki on
those things. He could have been airlifted.
That's true. That's a good point.
Those things are one engine problem from being on the ground.
You just didn't know about it.
Yeah.
I was in a helicopter?
Yeah.
I think there's a better chance that the helicopters have chased Lance than Lance being in the helicopter.
A manhunt? Yeah, I'm going to say no as well, Nikki. I agree with her.
You are dead on. I have not.
All right, Nick.
No desire to.
Hang tight.
Very good.
Didn't we have one go down in the Grand Canyon last year?
They go down all the time.
I think one in Pigeon Forge, too, I believe. Yeah.
Well, those are like those renegade pilots kind of show out.
Yeah. I remember back when I was a kid at the Little League ballpark, the county sheriff had one that basically looked like a bubble.
Yeah.
And a stick with propellers on it.
Yeah, Rada told the story on our show about the 3341 almost went down with him in it.
Ooh. Who was the Magnum PI? Was it TJ? Was the helicopter guy?
I think so.
That's coming back, by the way.
Yes.
Everything's good.
Yeah, it works for you. Occasionally puts together these greater than, less than. We end up learning a lot of numbers and wow facts about sports. He's got 12 or 13 up for us right now, so we do greater than or less than.
Okay, you guys chime in. Obviously, Rockstar, get involved too. On average, the amount of ants in an anthill, is it greater than or less than Chip Lindsey's salary this year?
Chip Lindsey's making like 900 grand, isn't he?
Oh, but it's greater than, right? I mean, those things are, you got a high rise,
the
above ground, but then in the ground, a lot more ants that you never see.
So you're going more, going less.
I would say Chip Lindsey makes more, yes.
I'm
going
to say more, and it's not close.
We said average anthill, so I'll say the anthill's less.
I don't know who actually
How do you count the ants? I have no idea.
Shut up.
But on average, the amount of ants in an anthill, 700,000, is actually a little less than Chip Lindsey's $800,000 salary.
Oh, wow. Good for Chip.
Boy, that's a lot of ants.
Right? It is. I thought there were more, though.
Okay, the population of Japan, is that greater than or less than the number of Instagram followers for my girl Ariana Grande?
They probably went up this weekend if you saw any Ariana Grande pictures from the weekend.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to watch the carpool karaoke she does with James Corden, Lance. It's pretty funny.
She's talented.
She shows a lot of personality, and she is quite talented.
We've lost Lance for about 45.
I cannot believe you said that, Jeff.
I don't even know if it's true.
Have you seen the Rams' new uniforms?
There are 25 minutes left
in
the show.
Put her in a jersey is all we need.
Did you see Ariana Grande? Yep. In a Rams uniform?
I'm going to say Ariana has more Twitter followers than Japan has people. Instagram followers than Japan has people.
I'm going to go two. I'm going to say with Grande.
I'll go against the grain. I'll do Japan population.
Population of Japan, 127 million.
A lot of folks.
Slightly more than the number of Instagram followers at 125 million. I mean, I would think if she was naked, you wouldn't have 125 million
You would
followers.
Think, but man.
I mean, that is a ton.
So mostly just pictures she's sending out, right?
What is
apparently
Instagram?
Little short videos. Okay, Jim Harbaugh.
Apparently little short videos.
Number of double-digit wins.
Not a shot at her height, right?
Not Lance. She's a fan.
Jim Harbaugh, number of double-digit wins during the regular season as a head coach.
Uh-huh.
Is that greater than or less than?
I'm like the guy behind the goal right now.
Kurt Warner's career playoff wins as a quarterback. So Harbaugh's double-digit wins during the regular season as a head coach, those seasons, greater than or less than Kurt Warner's career playoff wins as a quarterback.
I mean, Kurt Warner had a lot of playoff wins done away because he took the Cardinals and the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they had byes though, Brown.
Okay. I will say it's Kurt Warner has more wins in the playoffs.
I'm going to say Kurt Warner's got 11 wins. So I'm going to take Kurt Warner too.
Rocky?
I'll just go with Kurt Warner.
Jim Harbaugh, number of double-digit wins during the regular season as a coach, 8. Include 2 of those San Diego years. That is actually less than the 10 career playoff wins as a quarterback for Kurt.
Harbaugh's been a head coach how long? So he had San Diego, then he had the run at Stanford. Probably head coach in college football for 10 seasons.
At 3, 10 plus at Stanford with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, but I mean that's not very many double-digit wins in college football. I mean, that's less than a 2 per year average, basically.
Okay, number of people killed by the Black Plague.
About
greater than or less than the total on-court earnings for Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, Melo's made a lot of money, Jim.
The plague killed a lot of folks.
It really did.
If you haven't seen our video, go to Jack's Roundtable at Twitter.
But Melo is, to this day, making like $20 million a year, isn't he? And he's barely productive right now.
I'm going to say he has made $79
million. Oh, I think that's low.
I think the plague killed $112 million.
No, I think he's probably made $150 million, Melo has, and I don't think the plague took out that many.
I'll take the plague by far.
Okay, the number of people killed by the Black Plague estimated, obviously, $150 million. That is actually less than the $227 million that Carmelo has earned.
All those rings,
he's
too,
killed
right?
a lot of teams.
No, he hasn't had any rings.
He doesn't have any rings?
I don't have any rings.
Okay, actually going to see Def Leppard tonight. Kind of excited about that.
Pour some sugar.
Greater than or less than drums, arms.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Black Star.
I think I got that dead on. Okay, number one hits for Def Leppard. Is that greater than or less than the total number of Cy Youngs for Nolan Ryan?
I mean, I would imagine. I don't think Nolan Ryan won a lot of Cy Youngs.
I think he won 6, Brown.
I know. I don't think Def Leppard's had that many number ones, Jim.
You're backing off. I think that's going to surprise you, too. I'm going to go Def Leppard one more than Nolan Ryan.
I'll say Def Leppard had 4 number one hits, and Nolan Ryan won 3 Cy Youngs.
Rocky?
I don't even know if they had a number one hit.
Hypnotize?
I'll go 2 hits, then.
Notorious B.I.G. Yeah. You'll go 2?
I'll go 2.
Okay, the number of number one hits for Def Leppard is only 1.
Oh.
Do you guys want to guess the song?
It can't be Pour Some Sugar.
It is not Pour Some
Pour
Sugar.
Pour Some Sugar Me topped out at number 2.
Oh, it was...
Dunaway was thinking of, by the way, when he said Hypnotize, their album called Hysteria.
Hysteria.
Yeah. Yes. So close. Yeah.
Which was their best-selling album. Do you want to guess what it was? Wait,
Rocket.
It was actually Love Bites.
Love Bleed.
In October of 1988. That is actually greater than the 0 Cy Youngs.
Told you.
You were right.
Told you he hasn't won many. He's known for his strikeouts.
How did Nolan Ryan not have a Cy Young award?
No idea.
You learned something today.
I think he was kind of viewed as a sideshow, wasn't he? Just a strikeout guy?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Anyway, he was pretty close in Cy Young voting. He just never got one. Okay, the budget of Citizen Kane, viewed by a lot, is one of the greatest films in history. In 1941, that budget, is it greater than or less than the salary of the strength and conditioning coach, Scott Cochran, at Alabama?
So I think Cochran's like 750 G's. So I would say that's he's not that high. I think he's in the 500s.
I think he's that high.
I think he's in the 500s. I would say that's bigger than the Citizen Kane budget. That's a long time ago, man.
I think Scott Cochran, thanks to Kirby Smart, now makes $850,000.
I think it's 550. You're high.
I'm going to go 850, and I'm going to say it's greater than Rosebud.
I'll go Citizen Kane because I don't know anything.
Orson Welles, this was an extravagant budget in 1941. He went all out. I had a point to prove. Now, the budget of Citizen Kane in 41 was $686,000.
There's a war going on.
Slightly more than the $525,000 that Scott Cochran will earn this year.
Scott Cochran is underpaid.
He's not even the highest paid strength and conditioning coach in America. I don't know if you know that.
I do know.
That guy from Iowa, I think.
Underpaid. I went number of worldwide Domino pizza locations, greater than or less than the price of a median home in the United States back in 1950. Number of worldwide Domino locations, greater than or less than the price of a median home back in 1950.
I think I could get you in a median home for $19,999.
I was going to say like $2,500 for a median home back then. I would
$2,500?
Yeah.
I was going to say $9,000.
This is 1950.
Yeah, I'll still say $9,000.
I will say there's more Domino's Pizza locations.
Would you guys agree with that?
I'm going more Domino's.
Number of worldwide Domino's locations, 13,811, is greater than the median home price in 1950 of 7,354. Yeah. Boy, it'd be nice if you could get a house for $7,300.
No kidding. That's a pretty good house, right? Median price. It's not a bad spread.
No. Okay, next one. Number of hot dogs eaten in major league parks in 2017. Is that greater than or less than Andy Dalton's salary this year?
I mean, Andy Dalton's probably going to make, if I had to guess, $17 or $18 million.
The hot dogs and Andy Dalton have the same number of playoff wins.
There you go.
See, that's a joke.
I saw that. Yeah. Hot dog can't win a playoff game. Yeah. I think there's fewer.
You can
both
choke on. you can choke on a hot dog and an Andy Dalton playoff.
Game. I think there are fewer than 17 million hot dogs consumed.
I go Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I go Andy Dalton.
The number of hot dogs eaten in Major League parks last year, 19 million.
Good.
Is actually greater than the 16 million that Andy Dalton will make this year with the Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean, Brad, how many hot dogs do you eat when you go to the game?
Maybe one or two. Two.
Always three.
Okay,
the average life expectancy of a scorpion, is that greater than or less than the average number of sexual partners for guys?
Average number?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. A scorpion's got to live.
Does it live longer than 1 year?
I live five years. 5 years. I think that's more.
Define partner.
Two, if you count me. I'm going to say scorpion does not live more the male of the sexual partners.
Rocky, would you agree more sexual partners than scorpion years? Okay, the average, and I was blown away. I thought a scorpion probably 6 months. When I read about
3 years.
The average life expectancy of a scorpion is about 4 years. Some can live up to 15 years, believe it or not.
It's a good run.
That is actually less than the average number of sexual partners for guys, which is 6.4.
I don't really count her. She's about a 2.
Point, point
she's
four?
She's about a quarter.
Hey, believe it or not, women actually edge out men now on actual sexual partners.
You know what, Lance? That doesn't add up.
It really doesn't, does it? They tend to experiment a little bit more, though, maybe. It really doesn't add up. Okay, the population of Sacramento, greater than or less than Ronald Acuna's 2018 salary?
Oh, he can't be making anything. Sacramento's a pretty big city.
He's a teenager.
Yeah, I'd take that. I'd take Sactown.
Yes, Sacramento has more people.
I'll go Sactown.
Yeah, okay, population of Sacramento, 485,000 and 119 is actually less than Acuna's 545,000 that he will make.
Sactown, a smaller town, I thought.
Okay, average number of jobs before the age of 40 in the United States. Is that greater than or less than the number of top 10 songs from Britney Spears? Average number of jobs before the age of 40 that you will have in the United States, greater than or less than the number of top 10 songs from Britney Spears?
5 on jobs, I'm going to go...
Well, I think Britney had a lot of top 10 songs.
I'm going to say 7.
Yeah, I'd take Britney on this one.
I would tell. I'm trying to think. I would say 8 for Brittany.
Okay, the number of jobs before the age of 40 in the United States is 10.
Ooh.
Man, that's a lot. The I was going to say Britney had 10 hits, though.
That's actually less than the 13 top 10 songs from Britney Spears.
I name 8 songs by her.
I know, but I just know she was popular.
The Hit Me Baby is 20 years now. 20 years old.
Wow.
That makes you feel old at all.
What about Toxic?
That
I know.
Okay, so two final ones here, and both contain Auburn football. Number of seasons for The Office, the show The Office, is that greater than or less than the number of 10-plus win seasons for Auburn football?
I think it's 8 seasons, and I would say Auburn has edged that in 10-win seasons.
I say Auburn has 11 10-win seasons, 9 years for The Office.
Okay, you do realize that Nick Saban has got 10-plus win seasons in Alabama.
Well aware,
you're trying to sucker him into a change here.
Okay, Rocky, would you agree?
I just said I would think 7 seasons for The Office.
Okay, the number of seasons for The Office is 9.
Damn.
That is actually less than the 14 10-plus win seasons for Auburn football. And finally, Kellen Moore, his wins as Boise State's quarterback. His total wins Boise State's quarterback, is that greater than or less than Gus Malzahn's wins as Auburn's head coach?
32 wins for Kellen Moore is my guess.
I mean, he won a ton of games. And Gus has gone 13-23. I'm going to say Gus Malzahn has more wins. No, he didn't win 13 that year.
I'm going to say Gus, though.
12.
I'm going to say Gus
is there longer than Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that.
I'm going to say Gus at 39 more than Kellen Moore at 32.
I'm going to say Gus has more wins.
Yep. I'll go Kellen Moore.
I think we forget Kellen Moore is the all-time winningest quarterback as far as
wins. I do forget that.
Never forget that.
50-3. Was 50-3.
50 at 50 wins?
50-3.
50-3. The 50 wins is greater than the 45 Gus Malzahn wins.
Well, I mean, that's a better 50. Than a lot of coaches. 50 wins as a quarterback?
That is greater than less.
I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.